Now, let me pray before we jump in. God, as we consider, again, this word, this theme that we've been considering for this year so far, this idea of becoming, would you guide our thinking and consideration as I trust you have guided me during the preparation. Help us to, again, hear from you and to be moved forward in our understanding of who you are and a life lived in the way of Jesus. Amen. In a world where we are often told kind of, you can be whatever you want to be, you can identify however you want to identify, you can believe whatever you want to believe, you can become whatever you want to become, this might be a controversial statement, but I'm convinced none of us are a blank slate. What we become is shaped on some kind of a foundation. Either consciously or unconsciously, we build our lives on something. We have values, whether we're aware of them or not. We have habits and ways of thinking that are shaped in us. Again, even if we aren't conscious of it, it's happening. And hopefully, we can become conscious of them. And in that place of consciousness, of thinking about it, we can be, you know, we can intentionally build on certain things. But growing up, most of us aren't thinking to ourselves, what foundation am I building on right now? Usually, we just think in terms of, like, well, heroes, usually. Like, who around us impresses us that we think we want to be like? So, really quickly, who are some of your heroes growing up? It could have been people close to you, family or friends. Could have been celebrity, the kind of people in the media. It could have been fictional characters. Who are some of your heroes?
My dad.
Your dad, great.
Bobby Orr.
You wanted to be like Bobby Orr? All right. The $6 million man. Sorry, I didn't hear the one over here.
Donnie Osmond.
Is a hero and a crush the same thing? Anybody else? Your brother? Yeah, sorry.
John Boy Walton.
John Boy Walton. Good night, Penny.
Say what?
Anybody else that was like somebody that you looked up to?
Batman.
Yeah.
Billy Graham,
yeah?
My grandpa.
Your grandpa. Awesome. Awesome. The people that we tended to look up to, depending on whether it was a crush or whether it was something, like if we were aspired to be like someone, that would shape how we would act, the way we would think about things, you know, especially I think people that were close to us, whether we liked it or not, whether we liked them or not, they would shape they tend to have an impact on how we thought and what the building of our life looked like. Jesus told a story in which he used a metaphor. He talked about the foundation of our life, and he basically said that foundation might be stable or it might be unstable. He talked about a person who builds a house on the solid rock and the wind and the storms come and that rock stands firm, and somebody who builds it on sand and the wind and the storm comes and it just washes it away completely. The context of that is Jesus inviting us to build our life on his teaching, a Jesus foundation, in order to be stable. What he says is, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. That's what we're going to talk about today, is consciously thinking about building our life on a solid foundation of Jesus, that a Jesus-centered foundation. Why is a Jesus-centered foundation important? And I'm just going to say, we all have our life built on something to this point. We have the privilege in our world of identifying, oh, I've been building it on that, and maybe that's not stable, and doing some construction work, if you will, and building our life on a Jesus-centered foundation. But why should we build a Jesus-centered foundation? One simple answer in a church setting might be because he said so. But we're going to go a little further than that. And we're going to look in the book of Hebrews at a few reasons why we should be building and thinking about the growth that we have being Jesus-centered. So why a Jesus-centered foundation for our growth? The first reason in Hebrews 1, the very beginning of Hebrews, is a Jesus-centered foundation is what we should build on because Jesus actually reveals God to us. Hebrews 1, 1-3 says, "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command." This is a profound passage because it talks about the Old Testament, it talks about Moses, it talks about the prophets, and it says, you know, in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets, spoke to us through all of this stuff, but now God has shown us exactly who he is through his Son, through Jesus. Jesus is the one who, in the beginning, was there to make the world. Jesus is the one who puts God's own glory on display, expresses the very character of God, and sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about what we are created to do in the very beginning. We were created to image God in the world. We were created to reflect God in the world. And if we want to know what that looks like, Hebrews tells us, well, look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus, you get to see what God is like, and then that gives you that guidance for how to embody that way of Jesus. We need to have a Jesus-centered foundation because that's how we know what God looks like. The term godly is an excellent term, but it's also incredibly vague unless you've got something concrete to say, oh, that's what God looks like. And so God shows up in the person of Jesus and says, oh, here's the concrete thing for you to hold on to look at, to see. By looking at Jesus, it helps us to discern what's in line with God in our world, what's in line with God in our lives, even what's in line with God in Scripture. Author, pastor, professor Brian Zond put it this way, and I really like this summary. He says, God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. There's never been a time when God was not like Jesus. Again, this goes back to the very beginning of creation, right? This Hebrews passage. So we've not always known what God is like, but now we do. And so you have this story, even in the Old Testament, of these people understanding parts of God and bits of God and growing in their understanding of God. And then Jesus shows up and puts it on full display. The fact that God, there's never been a time when God was not like Jesus is a profound statement for those of us who want to wrestle with Scripture and lean into what God is like. Jesus reveals God to us. And that's why a Jesus-centered foundation for our growth is so important. That's presuming, because we're a church, that we want to grow in ways that align with God. If you want to grow in ways that align with God, you have to have a Jesus-centered foundation because that's what God looks like. Second reason I believe a Jesus-centered foundation is important is because Jesus offers stability others can't give. In Hebrews 3, if you flip over a couple of pages in your Bible, Hebrews 3, 5, and 6, the writer of Hebrews says, Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. The fact that he talks about Moses, I think is profound because where did Moses end his life? On a mountain?
Out of the promised land?
Outside of the promised land. Because he failed. He didn't actually fulfill all of what God called him to. Moses was a hero. But even the best heroes fail. Biblical and otherwise. You know, when I think about this, I can't help but think of my pastor that I had for the first 20 plus years of my life. Who for a lot of that time, like he the Bible, Jesus, that they were authority, but only as understood through my pastor. To a certain extent, he was the final authority. And then he failed. And he fell. And he walked away. Heroes fail. They don't offer the stability that Jesus offers. Scripture. Interesting one. We often talk about Scripture being a final authority. Have you thought about the fact that Scripture is a temporary revelation of God? In Revelation, it ends with us living in the presence of God. We aren't going to need Scripture to reveal God to us because we are there with God. As valuable and important as Scripture is, it is a temporary revelation of God while we wait for that day of full and final unity with God. And so it's helpful, it's reliable, but it's even that is temporary. Jesus is the one who, in the words of Hebrews 3, is in charge of God's entire house. Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. When Paul writes to the Romans, he is convinced that it is Christ that is our ultimate final foundation. He says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our security. That is the place that we can rest in. And it still matters when our heroes fail. It still matters when we're wrestling with Scripture and we discover something new that shifts the earth under us because we always thought that, but now this. Those things matter. But they don't undo us because of the stability we have in Jesus. A third thing from the book of Hebrews, why is a Jesus-centered foundation important? That's because Jesus is the one that keeps us growing towards all that God has for us, all that God offers us. Now, Hebrews 12. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. When we use the metaphor of a foundation, it can lead us to think that the goal is like staying put. Like that's what foundations do. They keep you locked in place. But the metaphor of foundation is less about staying put. It's really not about staying put. It's about having stability and growing from that place of stability. And stability is not the same as fixedness, unchangingness. The goal is not to build this permanent, perfect structure where we got all the rules and we've got all the regulations and we got everything figured out in this box. Growth, this thing that we're building, it's a maturity in how we live, not a permanence in what we think or how we act. Does that make sense? It's about a maturation, not a permanence. And that maturity, ultimately, I mean, it's marked by love. I did a little quick little search for where the New Testament talks about growth, or how the New Testament talks about growth, and just Listen, I'm going to read just a handful of verses and listen what it talks about us growing into. Okay, as we build on this foundation, we grow out of this foundation, if you will. 1 Corinthians 13, be joyful, grow to maturity. What does that maturity look like? Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. In Ephesians, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Ephesians 4, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Philippians 1, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. Colossians 2, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. James 1, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. I love that because endurance isn't a fixed thing, right? It's like it's a moving word that you can keep going. 1 John 4, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. 2 Peter has a bunch of things in it. 2 Peter 1, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. That's what we're growing into. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it looks like for us to grow up towards all God offers us. And we grow into that by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Growing into that. Being rooted in that Jesus-centered foundation. So, that's why I think we should build on a Jesus-centered foundation. But how do we do it? These aren't groundbreaking, like, things that I'm going to say here. The first is simply pay attention to Jesus and his teaching. Read the Gospels over and over and over again. Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. We read that at the beginning of the message. So listen to Jesus' teaching and follow it. And that's one of the marks of that. Our Anabaptist and our denominational background has tried to be founded on. It's like, well, if Jesus says it, maybe we should pay attention to it, not just brush it aside. Like, let's actually try and follow. You know, when Jesus says, love your enemies, maybe he meant love our enemies. When Jesus said, to blessed are the poor, maybe we should join in with poor in their situation. You know, like, but let's pay attention to Jesus and his teaching. Again, Hebrews 12 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And it's important to actually read the Gospels because not everything that gets labeled with Jesus or has a fish logo on it actually looks like Jesus. So we need to actually pay attention to Jesus and his teaching. One of the most interesting criticisms I've had. I was once told I spent too much time preaching from the Gospels. And I was like, okay, I'll take that. it's not that we don't pay attention. We have to pay attention to the whole testimony of Scripture. But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that leads us actually to the second thing. Building on a Jesus-centered foundation. We need to read and study the rest of the Bible in light of Jesus' life, teaching, and sacrifice. We read the rest of the Bible through a perspective that's rooted in what Jesus shows us about who God is, through the lens of Jesus, if you will. If we spend enough time with Jesus, we can put those Jesus glasses on while we read the rest of Scripture and make sense of it. So as we read and study the rest of Scripture, a really important question for us to ask is, how can this be understood in a way that's consistent with God as revealed in Jesus? Because there's other passages that you could draw some very different conclusions about God that don't really align with Jesus. And so if we sit with Jesus and say, okay, that is what God is like, how do we then wrestle with these texts and understand them a way that makes sense in light of what Jesus has revealed about God? And in those places when we ask that question and we come up with tension and tensions, we can say, okay, where those tensions exist between what we're seeing in this part of the Bible and what we see in Jesus, let's hold on to Jesus, have that stability, and then we can wrestle with that other text. We can ask all kinds of questions about the other text because we're holding on to Jesus and we're stable here because that's what God is like. But we read and study the rest of the Bible in light of Jesus, his life, his teaching, and his sacrifice. And the third suggestion I have for building on a Jesus-centered foundation, when in doubt, focus on Jesus' central commands. What were those central commands? Well, he got asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God, basically with everything you've got, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Everything, all of the other rules and laws are based on those two things. Jesus actually made it even simpler later. It's written in John 13. He said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Wait, that's pretty vague. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. The entire law and all the, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. When in doubt, when there's tension and confusion and what should we do and how should we live and how do we make sense of this, focus on Jesus' central commands. Err on the side of love, not a vague, wishy-washy love, a Jesus-like, sacrificial servant love. If you read Jesus' teaching, you realize he's not afraid to call things as they are, but he always does it with love and an invitation. To figure out what that love looks like, we go back up to first thing. Pay attention to Jesus and his teachings. Sit with Jesus to discern what love looks like. As a benediction, I offer these words that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church, in our church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless. Go in peace.